Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
Four. What's important about the number four?
How many days left until the weekend?
Yeah, no, well, that and how many days left in January? Four more days.
Both. Oh, that dryness is getting to you?
Well, it's not even if it was a non-dry, even if it was a damp January, I think would feel the length of this month. This month has felt like 8 months put into one.
This January has January'd the way Januaries have never January'd before.
Yes!
This is a particularly January.
OMG. I feel like it's never going to end.
The year got off to a rough start.
All right, so Mo, you gave the mic to a listener, which is a bold move at one of your shows because you're never supposed to relinquish control of the mic.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened?
Well, that is a no-no for comedians, but I take risk. I enjoy taking risk. I enjoy having crowd participation. So every once in a while, if someone really seems like they have something interesting to say, I'll just give them the mic and I'll go with whatever goes. Now, I do have a backup mic on stage just in case. You always got to have a backup mic. But normally when I give the mic away, if it turns out to be a mistake, it's a bad thing. And in this case, it actually wasn't so bad. It was somewhat of a good mistake. So at some point of the show, I'm going through my material and there's this table of three strangers sitting together. Well, at least they appear to be strangers. I'm not sure. But it seems like two of them together and one is sitting solo. And so it catches my eye. And so I walk over to that corner of the table. I can't exactly remember what joke I was on at that point, but whatever joke I was on, the lady that was sitting by herself, like, she engaged with the joke. So it started off with us kind of going back and forth and joking with each other. So then she starts to kind of talk about how she's been a listener of the show for all these years and that she just met these new listeners and they all came together. So that caught my attention. Like, wait, what? How did that come to be? So I end up giving her the microphone to tell the story to the audience of how exactly that happened. And then she proceeds to tell this story that by the middle of it, I was like, that might be the best story that's going to be told tonight. Like, I don't know that I have a better story than that to tell. But she said that she was in a dark place, and because her best friend of 17 years just passed away. Mm. And she just wasn't handling it well. And I don't remember if she said she usually doesn't do Uber or it was her very first time doing Uber. But I remember her saying something to the extent of, I just needed some form of distraction. I just needed to get out there and do something in order to help her. And so her very first Uber ride happens to be on a Saturday evening. And she picks up this couple and they're in the back. And I guess, you know, they're exchanging conversation and she's starting to feel their energy.
So when you say do Uber, you don't mean her like taking an Uber ride, but you mean driving for
she's
Uber.
She's driving the Uber.
Okay.
She's driving the Uber and she picks up this couple. And she's enjoying their energy. And so they start to speak. And she asked them, where are you guys going tonight, if you don't mind me asking? And they say, well, we're going to a comedy show. And she's like, oh, I really could use comedy in my life. Who's performing? And they say, Mo, this guy named Mo. And she's like, Mo, from the Burt Show? And they're like, yeah. And she's like, oh, my God, I've been listening to the Burt Show for all these years. I know Mo. And they're like, yeah, we love the Burt Show. We love Mo. We're going to go check him out and see his show. And they were like, well, this may be awkward, but we have an extra ticket.
No way.
if you want to go, she's like, one of my friends that dropped out. So we only have one ticket, but it's yours. And she was like, let me call my husband and see if he doesn't mind. And she calls her husband and he was like, this is meant to be.
Yeah.
Clearly. Like, yeah, go. Enjoy yourself. Have fun.
It's a rideshare destiny. All the way to your show.
Exactly. And so literally she, instead of dropping them off at the show, she drops herself off with them at the show. And they end up coming in and we have that moment and she gets to tell that story and just the way that she told it and it all came together for her. And she was just like, I'm having such an amazing time. You're hilarious. This has been awesome. And then the crowd supported her.
Aww.
And we just all made her feel warm and welcome for being there. And she was like, I cannot tell you how much this just changed my entire night. And it's just got me in a much better place. So it was just, for me, it was like such a great moment of seeing the listeners come together in that way that they did, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. But yeah, shout out to her.
You be getting the warm and fuzzies at a comedy show.
Right? Yeah, it's the last thing you expect to get. But my shows are like that, man. You never know. And between the couple getting engaged and her story, it was a real special night.
Oh, we're going to talk about the engagement later, for sure.
Okay.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
My show is on! That's how it felt when TMZ dropped another Justin Baldoni message to Blake Lively, all having to do with this lawsuit that, of course, I cannot get enough of.
Well, yeah, I don't think I've ever, maybe I'm just misremembering, but the rollout of evidence on this one is something special, man.
It is
from videos to audio to text messages to receipts. Like, I'm thinking when the Johnny Depp Amber Heard stuff went down, I think stuff like that happened as well. And maybe that's why it's kind of reminiscent of that, like the he said, she said, and then, you know, pitting the two of them together. But this has been an impressive rollout of evidence.
I almost wonder if they're trying to give so much evidence that Blake Lively just ends up backing down because they're so confident in their case. Or maybe they're just so confident that the public really is going to side with what Justin has to bring to the table in terms of evidence, that they're like, we're just going to put it all out there before we even get to court. And that's exactly what happened yesterday, because his attorney released a 7-minute voice message in response to that Khaleesi message that Blake Lively sent him. Here's the backstory on that. So Justin and Blake, I guess, we're working on the script at some point for the movie It Ends With Us, which, of course, this entire case revolves around.
They're like workshopping it together, right?
Yeah. And Blake was like, listen, on other movies, I always get asked to make edits to scripts, or I always get asked to write things, and I never get credit for it. And it's really bothersome that when I gave you the script that I wanted you to look over, it didn't really seem like you were that excited about it, because Justin's been working on this project for 5 years. And whatever Blake, which we later found out was actually Ryan Reynolds, came up with, it wasn't the vision that he had. And so he didn't really have like the response I think she was expecting, which was, oh my God, I love it, we're going to put it in the movie. He said something along the lines of like, I love your passion. It'll probably be somewhere in the middle between what I came up with and what you came up with. And she sends him this message. It's like 5 paragraphs long over iMessage. So you can just imagine scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and trying to read the whole thing on a phone. And there's this one part of the message where she describes Ryan Reynolds and her best friend Taylor Swift as her dragons. Like, she is Khaleesi from Game of Thrones, and these are her weapons, and they can be used for good and they can be used for bad. And if you're on my good side, you get the benefit of these dragons too. So this 7-minute message is in response to that.
And that I was slightly confused about that line in the text message. So is that being perceived as a threat or as a, hey, do me this solid, you have these people in your corner?
Justin is painting it as, I felt pressured to make changes and to give her more access to the movie because these are 3 of the most famous and powerful people in Hollywood. And if I don't comply, something exactly like this lawsuit could happen.
Gotcha.
So he releases the 7-minute message. And for context, it's sent at 2 a.m. I believe they were talking late into the night, so I don't think this is like randomly happening at 2 a.m. And it's 7 minutes of him apologizing for, I guess, not being as excited about the script. But what I did want to point out, and what I do find interesting about the timing of this specific release for the voice message, is the current fan theory that's catching a lot of fire is, having looked at the text messages between the two of them and having seen the footage that was released last week of them performing a romantic scene, there is a corner of the internet that really believes that Blake Lively got upset that Justin Baldoni didn't catch feelings for her, because she did. And
that's a wild theory.
It is a wild theory.
So many of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of speculation circulating this case.
I don't know how I specifically feel about that theory. I don't know if I necessarily like even bringing it to the table, because I think there's a whole complex reasoning as to why, like, we shouldn't maybe make those allegations considering what she's alleging against him.
Yeah.
However, the theory continues that maybe Justin also caught feelings for her. And there is a section of this voice message that, as somebody who did not subscribe to that theory at all, listened to it and was kind of like, this is an interesting choice of words.
And all that to say, I'm just really looking forward to spending time together. And I think that's going to really go a long way for our chemistry, which I believe is there. And has been there from the start. So I was so damn excited when you wanted to do this film. I felt it. in the room when we met. And I think it does come from the both of us being so hardworking and having a vision and not settling. There's nothing more exciting to me like that I get to work with Blake Lively and have her, all of her. I mean, that's what I want.
So it's so funny how two people can hear the same thing and hear something different. Because when I hear that, because that's his cadence, like that's how he talks when you hear, like he's kind of got like this deep, sultry, slow voice. But listening to that, I hear a director that's really excited about finding great chemistry with a fellow actor and that he knows in his bones this movie can be great if I just get the chemistry right and get us on the same page.
As someone who is not biased to him, because I don't really know the personalities of either, that's all I heard too.
Yeah.
Like the entire time. The end of it, I thought it was a little, all of you, I was like, okay, wait, that's a lot. But the rest of it, I sound really professional to me.
Yeah, what I mean, and I'm on the side of I don't think he caught feelings for her, but I think because I'm on the side of TikTok where that is the theory that everybody is running with, that is the first thing that went through my mind. So.
And that's why TikTok got shut down.
I know. But to be fair, if a man sent me that at 2 a.m. with that vocal fry and that little sultry voice, I would fall in love too. So
if Blake did fall in
love. It was, for sure. If Blake did fall in love, I get it. All right, Selena Gomez is getting a lot of flack for posting a video of her crying on social media. I'll tell you why people thought it was tone deaf on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
With a story like this, it's the details, I think, that are really going to sway you one way or the other. Like, why did the engagement break off? What led up to the engagement falling apart? Because the question is, should her friend pawn the engagement ring or give it back to her ex-fiance?
Mm.
But I feel like in order to come up with the answer, you gotta know why they broke up in the first place. And that's why intern Sadie is here.
All right, so here's the backstory.
We need all the tea. We need all the tea. Every little sprinkle of tea.
Okay, coming at you with the tea.
Uh-huh.
She has been with this guy for a few years, and he proposes. She's at his house one day. He's at work, and she sees a phone. That's not the phone that she usually sees him with. So she goes and picks it up, kind of opens it, skims through it, sees there's another girl on it.
So he had a burner phone for another relationship.
A burner phone for a woman, yes. So she takes it to his job, drives over there, sets it down in front of him and says, we're done. And that should explain why. So engagement is broken off, pretty self-explanatory at this point. But now she has the engagement ring still. So we've been, you know, joking around, trying to be good friends, be supportive.
Curious. Can we know some details about the engagement ring? Like what, if you had to guesstimate, you know, guesstimate how much it's worth. How much money are we looking at here?
That's the fun part, because we don't know yet.
Oh, she hasn't had it appraised?
She has it, and that's why we're like, we could take it to the jewelry store.
I would have thought that was the first thing she would have did.
Right?
Well, yeah, because depending on, because you want to get insurance on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So typically you would go ahead and get insurance on it, but so she has no idea, like, how much it's actually worth.
No, so we sat after class at Kennesaw, literally on the floor of the social sciences building, looking, trying to find this ring, doing Google searches. Like, we found some similar ones from, like, Zales, but who knows if it's an exact match.
And he's now a confirmed liar.
Yes.
So who's to say the ring is even real?
Right. Mm-hmm. He's already lied once. He's a cheater. So, you know, do we believe him that this is a diamond or worth anything for that matter?
He got it from Walmart. Got that cubic zirconia.
It's the gumball machine ring. Yeah. So we're kind of, you know, investigating on Zales.com, and we see one that's very similar, but it has a band with it. Like, it's a set. You have to buy the set. And we start looking at her hands, and there's a very similar band on her index finger. So we keep asking her, like, where did you get that? She's like, well, I was at his house, you know, a few months ago, and I found it. It was just sitting there, and I asked him whose it was, and he said it was his aunt's. And she never wore it, so he told me I could just have it. So she's been wearing this wedding band as a stacker ring, as a casual, like, everyday stacker ring. Hmm. I don't know what his plan was when, like, they inevitably got married.
Yeah.
Like, take it back and then re-give it to her. Like, sneak it back from her. I don't know. But now that she has this entire set, she's got the band and the engagement ring. Is it right to pawn it or sell it because he's a cheater and like he kind of deserves it? Or does she just give it back to him and get it out of her life?
Has he said that he wants it back?
She tries not to talk to him, so she hasn't asked, but I feel like she shouldn't have to ask. I feel like that's on her.
It may depend on the law, because I know certain states have different laws for engagement rings.
I'm Googling it right now.
look at the hard-hitting journalism you're getting here on the Burt Show today.
In the case of an engagement ring, the condition would be contemplation of marriage. Georgia law, and we are in the state of Georgia, has established that any gift that is made in contemplation of marriage is subject to an implied condition that the marriage will occur. And if this condition does not occur, the engagement ring should be returned.
Ooh. So she may find herself in some legal trouble if she ends up pawning it off.
That's if he asks for it back. If he hasn't asked for it back, then technically she doesn't have to give it back.
So it could be like a what he doesn't know won't hurt him situation.
But at some point, if he comes and asks for it, then the best thing to do would probably be just to give it back.
I guess the way to go around it is just to be like, listen, dude, you literally nearly ruined both of our futures by making us marry each other when clearly you didn't want to be in this relationship monogamously. And I was under the impression that we were just with each other. So how about we call it even. You let me pawn off this engagement ring. You let me put a down payment on a new car with this engagement ring, and I will forgive you, and we can both move on with our lives.
I would 1,000% pawn it, get that money, and then if he asked for it, be like, I lost it.
Wow. See, that's because y'all don't believe in karma. I wouldn't want to do nothing like that because I would be afraid karma would come back and get me.
Karma? He's the one that cheated. This is karma for him. Yes.
No, but the way I see it, if you cheat on me, I don't want anything to do with anything that came from you. I don't want the ring. I don't want the money. I don't want any of that. I just want you out of my life. I want all your possessions out of my life. I want to start over new with everything fresh.
But think of the places you could go with the money. You don't want to like console your soul in, I don't know, Barcelona.
I don't know. He's a college student who bought an engagement ring. They're not going to Barcelona. They're going to Pigeon Forge.
If the ring get me to Maldives, I might change my mind. Okay.
All right. Now that we're invested, intern Sadie, you got to figure out how much the ring how much the ring cost. And you have to let us know. You have to give us an update when she decides what she's going
to
do.
All right. I think we need to take a girl's trip to the pawn shop and appraise this thing.
1,000%.
Take a little outing.
Absolutely have to.
The Burt Show.
She knows the only reason he's asking her out is because she lost weight. But should she go out with him anyway? We're going to get to that email in just a second. But first, I have a question for you all. I think it's an easy one. We'll see if you get it on the first try. Somebody polled 2,000 single people to find the sexiest jobs for 2025. They broke it down by industry, okay? Any guess as to what the sexiest job of 2025 is?
Dear God, let it be radio host.
Let it be radio host. We did not crack the top 8.
Damn. Firefighter.
First responders, like firefighters, paramedics. That came in at number 3.
Okay, pilot's pretty sexy.
Ooh, a pilot is sexy. It's not up here.
Car mechanic.
No.
When they slide from under the car, Abby, with the shirt open? No?
You feeling right. Some type of way? Jiffy Lube?
I'm just saying.
Good to know, Mo. Now I know why you don't have a car.
No, that's why they call it O'Reilly's.
See? That's what I'm saying.
No, that is not it. Come on. Think. This is...
OnlyFans.
No! I mean, I get it, but again, this is a profession, so think of somebody that...
Doctor.
Yes!
Yeah, it is.
There you go.
Right.
Healthcare was the number one profession. So doctor was voted the sexiest job overall. Nurse is second.
Okay.
All right. Education came in at number 2. So teachers and professors.
No way. Mm.
And then our first responders in at number 3. All right, so... Like I said, she knows the only reason that he is asking her out is because she lost weight. So is that a deal breaker? Should she hold a grudge about that? Or should she go ahead and go out with him anyway? Cass has got the email.
I need some impartial advice because my friends are all like, he's a dirtbag. Why would you ever? I work at this tech company. That's already a red flag. It's a pretty chill vibe. Lots of standing desks and kombucha. And about a year ago, I got brave and asked out this guy I worked with. He's super cute, like a solid 8.
I love how she was like, yeah, he's a 10. He's like, hey, he's a good 8.
I knew he was probably out of my league because at the time I considered myself a solid six. He said no. His reason? We worked together. I respected it and I moved on. Here's where it gets interesting. Over the last year, I've lost 60 pounds. Weight has always been my struggle since like middle school. I was the quote unquote funny friend growing up because I didn't think being the pretty one was in the cards for me. Diets never stuck and the gym? Yeah, no. But this time I decided to go all in and started taking Ozempic. And let's be real, part of the motivation was so I could finally date guys who were, you know, eights instead of fours. Fast forward to now, this same guy is asking me out. My friends are convinced he only asked me out because of the weight loss. Well, duh, Captain Obvious. My friends think he's shallow and I shouldn't waste my time, but I'm wondering, does that even matter? Should I let it bother me and say no? Or should I say yes and see where it goes? I'm kind of torn between holding a grudge or just enjoying my new body and dating options. What would you do? Thanks so much. Love you guys.
Ooh. All right, Mo, what advice are you giving her?
I wouldn't be mad at him for this, but I also wouldn't date him. You know, this to me feels like no different than if you come up and you make some money and now somebody wants to date you. Or if you get a new job, now somebody wants to date you. I'm really big on wanting me for me, and I feel like I'm me either way. So if you ain't want me, then you can't have me now. I wouldn't date him.
Bars. I just can't think of anything more satisfying than turning down someone who turned me down first. Like, I would love to look at him in the eye and a cute little crop top or some kind of, like, fun outfit where I'm like, you can't have all of this. Like, if you didn't love me then, you're not going to love me now. But you know, it gets kind of lonely out here. So maybe turn him down and then wait a couple of months and then maybe swing back around and be like, you know what? Let's revisit this.
I mean, my gut instinct as soon as I read this, I'm like, okay, listening to her weight journey. And I applaud her for being honest that she was like, well, I applaud her for being honest. I hate that she thinks that, how do I want to put this? I hate that she thinks the only way you can be an eight is from your attractiveness. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, there's a lot of things that can make a person eight. And I think, like, physical appearance is just a small part of that, right? So just putting my, you know, self in your shoes and where your thinking is, you know, this is your journey and this is what you chose for yourself. Even though you consider him an eight, and one of the reasons you did this is so you can, you know, date hotter guys or whatever, because I think we can, in a generally speaking, hot guys are going to want to date hot girls, and hot girls are perceived to be thin, not overweight. That's the society we live in. Doesn't mean it's true, but that's where we are. So I'm here to tell you, find you another eight. This eight you can kick to the curb.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, her friends are right, and she is also right. And it's, I wouldn't want to do that because, again, like Mo said, you date me for me, and your body's not going to last. You're going to get old. You're going to age. You may gain the weight back. What if you have children? Your body's not going to look the same after that. Do you really want to link up with somebody who judges you, has clearly shown you that they will judge you for your appearance? If you don't care about that and you want just a fun fling, then go for it. But if you're looking for something more long-term and more serious, the most serious successful relationships, sure, there is physical attractiveness there, but it's going to be in the melding and the meshing of your personalities. And that's why I think when you really find true love, the body comes in second and appearances don't matter as much, which is why sometimes you'll see pairs and you're like, they got together because they have evolved to a place where it's more than just physical appearance. So I don't, and I'm not trying to poop all over people who like other people for how they look. If that's what you want in this era of your life with your new body, then get it. It is your body. It is your life and go after it. But personally, I'm not going after anybody who turned me down when I was overweight because I am the same person. There's just less of me and you don't get access to that if you've already shut me down.
Mic drop.
The Bird Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
All right, Katie, the worst thing you've ever witnessed a server do. And let's preface that, Katie, you love going out to restaurants. Mm-hmm. Like, food is you actually enjoy food. Unlike Bert, who only eats it for, you know, to get from point A to point B, you enjoy going out, you enjoy eating. So you've been to your fair share of restaurants, mm-hmm. and that's saying a lot that this is the worst thing you've ever seen a server do.
Yes. And the crazy thing is, I'm not the type of person to, if I get like a meal that's like, okay, half decent, I don't send things back or anything like that. I'm just like, I'm going with the flow, and if the food's good or halfway good sometimes, I'm fine with that. I'm content as long as I'm having a good time. And in this situation, it was a group of my friends, and it's like five of us. And two of my friends ordered appetizers, and they ordered the exact same appetizer. So, you know how you're waiting and you're like, oh, is this plate coming for me? But then the server goes to another table. Mm-hmm. Like, we're just waiting because we just want to try this food. And so the server brings out the first plate and he sets it down, and then he goes to get the second plate. And so as he comes back with the second plate, he kind of hesitates a little bit and he accidentally drops one of the egg rolls on the table.
Ooh.
Right? So we all see a drop on the table, and then he just has this silent, awkward pause, and he's looking at all of us, and we're looking at him like, okay, like, we're not taking the egg roll off the table.
Okay, so hit pause. Uh-huh. Now, this happens to us. I know what I would do. Server's putting your food down, an egg roll rolls off of the plate and onto the table. What do you do?
As the server or as the...
As the patron who's eating.
Probably request more egg rolls.
Put it on my plate and yell, 5 second rule.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Like, because your silverware has been sitting on the table and you're going to pick that up and put that in your mouth. So I am, you know, if they have a high restaurant health score, then I'm doing the same thing. I'm just going to put the egg roll back on the plate and be like, don't worry about it. It's
you
all good.
You were a server before. There is no restaurant table that I would eat off that I feel like is that clean. No way.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so I think that's what he was wanting. He was wanting us to be like, 5 second rule, it's fine.
Yeah.
But we're like,
get us
no.
Get us.
Right. Most said, we don't trust this table.
Okay.
Right? So then after this little weird silence, he reaches for the egg roll. He picks it up with his hand and puts it back on a plate. And he just looks at us. And then he does another pause and he's like, okay, they're not going to take it. So I'm going to.
So literally you guys are saying nothing. Back. You're waiting for him to like, it's like choose your own adventure and see if you choose accordingly.
Exactly. Okay. That's exactly what we're doing.
So and so far he's chosen all the wrong turns.
Yeah, he's assuming wrong.
He is. But then he finally takes the plate away.
Yes. So then he takes the plate away. And when he's walking away, he's walking behind me. So I can't see him walk towards the kitchen. But there's two of, like, my girlfriend and my friend are sitting in front of me. So I see them. They can see what's going on behind me. And so they're like, okay. They're giving a play-by-play. Okay, he's going back to the kitchen. Okay, he's talking to the chef. All right, he's bringing out new egg rolls. Like, they're giving a whole play-by-play. He sets the plate down, and then he brings out a fresh batch of egg rolls to us. He brings it out. He says, I'm so sorry about that. Boom. Mm-hmm. All seems well. He goes back. And the plate that he set down where he dropped that egg roll and put it on the table and picked it up with his hand.
Yeah.
He takes that same plate.
Yeah.
And he takes it to another table.
No.
And we're like, no way. Nah. And so she's like, he's taking it to the table. The same egg roll that he just picked up with his hand. He's taking it to a different table. And we're like, no, no, no. He's like, yes, he is. And we're like, why would you do this?
So now you guys are witnessing this.
Uh-huh.
I'm assuming... Would you say something? Would you say something to the table, or would you say something to the server, or do you just let it ride?
I would say something to the table, because if I don't want to eat it, I don't want anybody else. I'm sure somebody else is feeling uncomfortable about maybe eating something that was on the table as well. And honestly, I'm probably putting down some money and walking out and finding another place to eat, because I won't be able to get that image out of my head of thinking of, A, if he's going to do that to another table, what is he going to do to my food? And it just would not sit right with me.
I don't know if I would have said something to the other table, but I would have said something to the server. More like a jokingly, man. Like, I know you ain't take the egg roll to that table, bro. I know that's not what you did. I probably would have said something like that.
Katie, what did you do?
We were just like, well, sucks for that table.
It was over there like, damn, this good.
this guy like, a little extra seasoning on it. How yummy.
The Bert Show.
Calling a meeting of the youth group. We need a little family therapy sesh. Something has gone awry and we need to rectify it. Abby?
I'm currently beefing with all of the members of the Bert Show Youth Group, except for one. One person has escaped my wrath, which I will impart upon at some point. Not right now because I'm a little tired, but one day wrath will be bestowed upon them.
All right, and what constitutes The Burt Show Youth Group.
The Burt Show Youth Group is pretty much who's kind of everyone who's like mentally 30. I was going to say everyone under the age of whatever, but Amber's like 38. So
I'm old as hell.
Everyone who kind of falls in like that late 20s, early 30s mindset of like some of us are single, some of us are in relationships, but like we don't have kids and we're not married. We're just like, we're so young and fun and cool. And we do young and fun and cool things together, like a podcast. We currently have a podcast called The Personality Hires where we talk about 20-something, 30-something stuff, but we've really become good friends. I feel like one of the best parts of this job is having a lot of people my age around and having people to do things on like a fun night out. And funny, I should mention, you know, fun night out, fun nights out, because we were all supposed to do something together this weekend and everybody bailed except for one person. And that is the primary reason why I'm beefing with everybody. This all had to do with a DM that I got from a Burt Show listener who came to us in her time of need. She was getting married this weekend. She's very excited. But she said, Abby, you know what would make my wedding even more special is if people from the Burt Show came and crashed our wedding.
Shut up.
And I was like, that sounds dope as hell. I was like, that sounds so fun.
You got a wedding crashers request?
Invitation. And so I'm like,
you're no longer a crasher. You're a freaking guest.
Yeah, no, this was, she was like, we'll put you at the table. We'll find you a place to sit at. And I was like, no, dude, like we are crashing this wedding. We're going to show up. We're going to go to the bars. Mm-hmm. We're going to drive up to wherever your wedding is. And we are going to end the night with you in the most epic way possible.
That's hilarious.
So I go to the Personality Hires group chat. I send the screenshot. I said, guys, I don't know if we should do this, but think of the content that we would get for the show if we crashed this listener's wedding. And everyone was like, oh my God, yeah, that sounds so fun. That would be the content. Memories, friendship. Yeah,
exactly.
Emoji, chif. And I'm like, oh my God, my friends are so cool. We're so fun and spontaneous.
This is why we do not belong to the youth group, because this we would never.
I don't belong because I say GIF instead of JIF. No wonder you have no friends.
So fast forward to Saturday, and I'm touching base with the group. I made our plans with the person that was getting married. I said, hey, we're going to come around like 8 or 9. I see that your wedding's supposed to end around 9:30. So we'll get there right at the end just to like tap off the night. And I send everyone like the details. I'm like, okay, here's where we got to go. Here's the wedding website. Feel free to add to the registry. Are we all ready to go? And it's just silence in the group chat. Absolute silence. And I go, hey guys, are we still good for tonight? You're like, hey guys, you want a carpool? Hey guys.
Hello.
How wow. And the only person I hear from is Rebecca, who was like, I'm down to go. Rebecca was down to clown. Everybody else made other plans because they didn't think I was being quote unquote serious about our wedding crasher plans.
In my defense, on that Saturday night, I had already made plans to go check out Mo's show. So there was no way I could drive an hour and some change and get back to the show in time. And I did mention that.
This is true. You are pardoned.
I got invited too, and that's also the reason I didn't go. I know that, so I'm with you, Amber.
Appreciate you, brother.
This entire setup that you're doing here, funny that it's coming from your perspective, is lies, it's deception, and it's shadow play, because none of this really happened. I mean, most of it kind of happened.
Actually, all of it happened.
I think you're really over-exaggerating how much we were all committing to this, because when the first screenshot of the DM came out, I was like, yeah, this could actually be really funny. But then I remember talking to everybody and being like, hey, they're asking for the A-team. They want you and Kristen and Burt to come, and we're the D-minus team that would end up showing up and kind of ruining the fun for them, I think. So I didn't feel 100% confident that it was good. Mikey said, it's like if your favorite show's The Office and you invite them to your wedding and then the camera guy comes.
Your Honor, permission to approach the bench?
Granted.
I'm approaching. So he brought that
up.
He brought that up in the group chat, and so I was like, well, why don't I ask? Why don't I just make sure that she would be cool with the other losers showing up to her wedding? And I said, hey, can Jackson, Amber, Mikey, and Rebecca come with? And she was like, oh, absolutely. How many people? Like, well, I'll get y'all a seat. And so I let them know we've been approved to go and show up. And who would be more fun to show up to another fellow 20-something's wedding than other 20
something's in a 38-year-old.
Point of clarification. So this bride,
yes,
the week before her wedding,
yes,
added extra seats for you guys, and you no-showed on her?
Exactly. Jackson Camp?
Exactly.
Did we just lose a listener? I was like, we're going to have to send her a cameo or something.
I don't think it was that clear. I don't remember. I got a link to the wedding website, mm-hmm, and that is the only thing that I saw that day. And then there was maybe an hour of no responses, and then someone, or Rebecca, I think, was like, so are we doing this or not? And that's when I was like, sorry, I already made other plans for tonight.
Well, I'm just curious, what was more important than attending a wedding you had allegedly RSVP'd for?
My cousin's 31st birthday.
31?
Yeah,
not even 30?
I know.
Get out of here.
Your cousin's going to have other birthdays, but there will not be another one.
The Bird Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
Selena Gomez is getting some flack for a video she posted and then deleted on her social media. But before we get into that, I feel like the moms of the group are going to be very excited to hear about the most streamed shows and movies of 2024, because pretty much mostly, especially in the movie categories, the kids' content is what really topped out for 2024 for the most streamed stuff.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because kids watch the same thing over and 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 over again. They love a replay.
That makes sense.
They more than love a replay. Like, if they get hooked on something, you're going to watch either that same movie or that same episode a bajillion times.
I feel like I could recite the entire script from Mariah and the Last Dragon at this point. It's a great movie, by the way.
Also, aren't iPads like the pacifiers of the 2024? Like, anytime you want your kid to shut up, you're like, iPad, go.
We call them tablets. Because he does not have an iPad. So, but he does have a tablet.
A tablet. So the top five for the most streamed movies on streaming services were Minions, Trolls Band Together, Red One, mm-hmm, the Super Mario Brothers movie, and Moana. That was the top film that was streamed. And for TV shows, it's a little bit more adult because also, you know, sometimes watching your favorite Shonda Rhimes show is like a pacifier anytime, yep, you're having a bad day. In fifth place, at NCIS. Fourth place, Bob's Burgers. Third place, what? Family Guy. Second place, Grey's Anatomy, because that has like 72 still, seasons.
What is this, wow, list from? 2003?
Right.
No, people are still obsessed with Grey's Anatomy.
Well, it's also a comfort level. So I never realized this, but so like The Office was always like a go-to. I can't begin to tell you how many times I've watched The Office. And apparently for people with anxiety, it's beneficial to watch shows you've already watched because you know what happens, so you don't get amped up. And it's actually kind of like, it's like a whoopee.
Never looked at it like
it's
like
that. It's like a little whoopee.
Okay. It's an adult pacifier.
It's an adult pacifier. Uh-huh, uh-huh. And in the top spot, the child's pacifier, uh-huh, goes to none other than Bluey.
Bluey.
Bluey was streamed for 55.62.
You know, mom!
You can see what the parents are.
Yes.
We have to. You can't say Bluey and not do the mom shout.
You are going to be livid. I miss this, but I posted on my Insta yesterday. Jimmy and I were showcasing how we use our Xfinity X1 remote. That's because I'm endorsing that.
She just got $1,000, yeah, submitted to her bank account with that.
So we're doing it, and I was like, hey, so I'm going to push the voice, like, whatever, and you say Bluey, and Bluey will pop up. And so I hit it. Jimmy goes, Bluey, and then Bluey pops up, and I zoom in, and I'm like, how cool is that? And he's like, his little mind's blown or whatever. And then I didn't even pay attention. Somebody commented and in all caps, who TF gave Bluey 71%, like a 71% rating.
What?
That's what I said.
We need to find that person.
I said, we gather and we ride at dawn to rectify this wrong, because that deserves at minimum a 99%.
100%.
If not, yeah.
If it's only getting a C rating, it's shocking because there are 55.62 billion minutes streamed of the show only in 2024. The people are obsessed with Bluey.
Yes.
But back to the real hard-hitting news. I don't know why I feel like in this day and age I need to do like a content warning for something that's like moderately political, but here's your content warning for politics. Selena Gomez is getting some flack for posting a video of her crying on social media. And this all has to do with some of the mass deportations that are happening where illegal immigrants are getting removed. And Selena Gomez is half Mexican. So she came on her Instagram story and got really emotional about everything that's going down.
Just wanted to say that I'm so sorry. Only people are getting attacked. The children. I don't understand. I'm so sorry. I wish I could do something, but I can't. I don't know what to do. I'll try everything I promise.
So a lot of people are responding to this because they're like, why are you crying on social media when you could actually go out and do something about it or make donations to specific causes? A lot of people felt like it was really tone deaf. And then she ended up having a response of like, why am I not allowed to show my emotions and show empathy for people? Like, why is that seen as a bad thing? Because I feel like a lot of people immediately came down on her for posting that instead of maybe taking her struggles in a more productive or private way.
I bet she is getting flooded with messages of people begging for help. And I bet that probably spurred on because these are her fans, mm-hmm. and she might feel some modicum of responsibility, also given her background and her cultural history. I imagine that it hits so close to home for her. People are allowed to be human beings and showcase emotions on social without other people telling them to shut up.
100%. All right, Snoop Dogg is responding to criticism that he performed at President Trump's inauguration ball. I'm going to tell you what he's saying to the haters on your next E-Buzz on The Bird Show.
The Bird Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.